5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm going to count to three, and you're going to step aside.
Dream another dream, cowboy. That's not how this is going to shake out.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 15, Crime and Punishment. Oh, no. And now here are your hosts.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Before we get into this episode, we want to tell you what's coming up on the Patreon. It's that time again. This Thursday, April 3rd, we'll be bringing you the March edition of Again With Them. That is, of course, our monthly recap digest of 90210 OMG, Jenny and Tori's awful podcast. This month, they did the usual, the recap episodes. Sure, why not? And they also booked a couple of interview episodes with people who they have no business speaking to, like Dalton James, who played Mark. And it got awkward. And yes, I know what you're thinking. Wow, I got to hear that for myself. No, you don't. We will tell you everything that you need to hear about that. Do not listen to it yourself. That's what we're here for, and that is a special premium perk for Patreon supporters at the $5 level and up.
Yes, please give yourself the gift of letting us listen to this unedited awk, and do not do it yourself. Mm-mm. And you can give that gift of us listening to it to other people. Don't forget to investigate gift link options if you'd like to support us even more. We love you. We're glad you're here. And for all of our Patreon supporters at any level, Again With This, episode 234 is the very next day, Friday, April 4th. I would call it a palate cleanser, but it isn't. It is us watching Kerrsmith in Justice, the hardest to Google show ever made. If you're interested, it also starred Victor Garber for the 10 minutes that it was on, and we will link to it on YouTube in our show notes. But that's another one you should just let us watch, I think. Spoiler.
Thank you so much. Yes, again, with this podcast.com/club. All right, let's get into Crime and Punishment. Really just one storyline. It cannot be unteased or unpicked. Pacey hulks out on the guy he thinks wrecked Joey's mural while Andy finally has a real crisis of conscience. So Joey mentioned liking art just ahead of the writers getting her to do it again. We join her mid-project, and when Pacey rolls up behind her, we see she is painting a mural inside the school. Annoyed, she says she didn't invite him, but he just smiles adorably, asks what tools she needs, and tells her that Van Gogh cutting his ear off caused a bunch of copycat mutilations among his students. His point being that everyone wants to revere and emulate artists, just like Pacey is doing right now. Joey doesn't hear any of that, just guesses he got kicked out of his house again, but he self-kicked because his oldest sister's husband cheated on her, and she came with her screaming daughters to live at the Witter house. Nervously, Joey pushes her platform out of the way and stands next to Pacey, asking what he thinks. It is a well-meaning but still culturally appropriative take on, I think, a Chinese scroll, with leaves in the background, some small Hanzi in the top left corner, and a huge symbol in the foreground. Pacey asks if it's done, which, if that's your reaction, maybe keep it to yourself, but she snorts that it is. He thought the assignment was for murals symbolizing school spirit and unity, but that's what this is, she says. Clip two.
Well, no offense, but this looks like something you'd find tattooed on Kwai Cheng Kane's forehead.
You don't like it?
I didn't say I don't like it. I'm pretty sure the rest of the murals will probably be a little more traditional.
What, like football players and lighthouses? And what do they actually say about the high school experience?
Joe, this is the U.S. of A. We're a very prosaic nation, and when we have art in public places, we want it to be about as subtle as Godzilla.
Yeah, but Pacey, don't you think that art can have this power? I mean, it can bring people together.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In museums, the Think a Man's pickup joint.
Well, that's what I like about you, Pacey. You just go so deep.
Nice.
That's the way you like about him. Yeah. All right, I just like to pause for a moment and explain that I am snickering every time the phrase painting a mural is used, because in my family, this refers to a famous incident in my father's fraternity involving a fraternity brother who was even taller than my dad, 6'7" dude named Tom, who drank way too much red wine one night. And the results were directed at sort of like the top of the tile of the bathroom wall. It was just a really, really many bad decisions. But the drip down was then called painting a mural.
Oh, boy.
Ever after that. And that's a euphemism in my family now for barfing. So it's like, how's the mural painting going? And I'm like, she's too short.
Tom, we're holding you in our hearts right now. Hope Tom is well.
I think he's well.
Okay, great.
Last I heard.
My only note on that was, you know, he better go so deep pretty soon. Just saying.
Yeah, God.
Looking forward to it.
Is that the Hansi for fucking hurry up and kiss already? Because that's what I'm thinking.
Also, maybe this mural would work better in a school with an Asian student, which from what we've seen, this one is not.
No. Pacey's observation about football players and lighthouses is borne out.
Yes.
In later shots, and especially the football player, this is all in our visual aids, which you should definitely check out. But the football player in particular is like, there's some, who's that artist who's always in the background of like Madonna videos? The deco artist, you know who I'm talking about? Tamara someone?
Oh, yeah.
It's Tom of Finland with this football player in a high school. It's a lot. Anyway, visual aids. We do it because we love you.
So the next day, Dawson heads straight for Joey's mural and tries to peek behind the sheeting that's blocking off that corner of the hall, but Joey catches and scolds him. He says that Pacey got a preview, but she wants Dawson to have the complete experience at the unveiling. Pacey didn't tell Dawson what it was, but said it was great. Joey jokes that it means a lot coming from a discriminating art critic like Pacey. His prized possession is a black velvet painting of baby Elvis, which I didn't know baby was a phase that's usually depicted in Elvis iconography, but okay.
No, me neither. The Passion of the Elvis also, I guess we missed.
Dawson asks about Joey's speech and she flaps that she should just let the work speak for itself. Dawson exposits that the school board and PTA were behind the commission, so of course they want some ceremony. Trying to act casual, Joey asks if he will be there. He will, if she wants him there. She does, and for him to be honest about the mural, even if he hates it. He doesn't know why she thinks he might, and when she kind of shrugs, he goes on about stepping out from behind the curtain and being judged. She says it's more like she's declaring what she feels about this place. Looking at her art is practically going to let the audience look straight into her soul, which, like, it's a Lucky Brand t-shirt. Like, relax. It's really not bad.
Yeah, really. I was like, oh, yeah, Urban Outfitters.
Mm-hmm. Over to the library, where we see that Andy's still running the student disciplinary committee despite her authoritarian crackdown earlier in the season. And Matt, who has indeed returned well before next season, whoops, unlike what we remembered, is half-heartedly pleading his innocence. Clip three.
Give me a break. It was a joke.
There's nothing funny about cheating, Matt.
Principal Green, members of the disciplinary committee, I admit it. I didn't know the answer on the quiz. So I did what any self-respecting kid would do in a cellular age. You know, I whipped out my StarTAC, I dialed home, and I asked my mom, how many justices sit on the Supreme Court? You know, call me crazy. You know, even Mr. Higgins laughed.
Okay, and you claim that your mother didn't know the answer either.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so how do you explain your perfect score on the quiz?
I guessed.
Okay, well, then I guess my recommendation would be that you get a failing grade on the work at question and a 3-hour detention.
Why don't you just bust my kneecaps while you're at it?
That'll be enough, Mr. Caulfield. While your behavior clearly violates the letter of the honor code, I do not believe it is in violation of the spirit.
It's not?
Nope. Other way around. Bust my kneecaps? What is even happening with this dialogue?
Yeah, I don't know. I will say Andy's bangs are officially long enough to sweep to the side, so that's progress of a sort.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Principal Green confirms that Matt is free to go, but says this should be the last time the committee sees him. Andy looks distressed, and when she's packing up later, Principal Green asks her to hang back. She apologizes for her reaction earlier, but it's not about that. The ETS just told him her PSAT scores are among the top 50,000 in the country, and she's on track for a National Merit Scholarship. He can't help noticing her muted reaction. She laughs that she's stunned. And one congratulatory handshake, and he's on his way. And then we're at a stately apartment building where Doug's front door is just a flimsy French door. Like, it's full glass. I don't know how members of Capeside's bad element aren't constantly breaking in, but anyway. Pacey's there with a bag and a covered dish. Doug stops him coming in, because the last time Pacey was there, he left a ring on Doug's Art Deco coffee table. Pacey says their parents just wanted him to bring Doug something, and when he gives him the dish he's been hiding and Doug's hands are occupied, Pacey sneaks past him because what they wanted Doug to have was Pacey. He is moving in. Their dad even gave Pacey a check for Doug as a security deposit. Doug states that Pacey's not moving in ever. Clip 4.
This is not party of five.
Come on, Dougie, please. You can't make me go back to that house. I mean, think about it. You got this whole styling bachelor pad all to yourself with the nice lighting and the fancy window dressings and all the other trappings of the modern, extremely closeted homosexual male. And I don't even have a room to myself anymore.
Since when?
Well, since Carrie decided to take an extended leave of absence from Jerry. You remember Jerry, don't you? Our favorite brother-in-law, the one with all the tattoos. And of course, she brought along the no-neck monsters who are currently residing in my room. So what do you say, man? Can I stay here, please?
It was enough to say the nieces were loud. Like, no-neck monsters is really extra mean for characters we don't see.
Yeah. Also, how is a small-town deputy affording an Art Deco coffee table and not having coasters? This whole runner, so to say, runners are usually funny, but this whole runner with Doug is like, I mean, the framed musical posters on the walls of his apartment. Uh-huh. We get it.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
No, it's not. Doug says that if Pacey's going to stay there, he has to follow the rules. They don't eat their mother's very unhealthy cooking. They always use coasters, and they keep the CD collection in order by last name. Pacey doesn't plan on listening to Doug's diva collection. Doug thinks his music could help soothe Pacey's troubled heart, but Pacey claims his heart is just fine, and their jailhouse conversation was just drunken rambling. Doug says there won't be any of that on his watch, and also no moping, but is Pacey any good at decoupage? And Pacey's, God help me, seems to suggest he's not. And after a time-filling number of establishing shots, it's the next day, and we're at the B&B, where Joey's trying to stop Bodie from taking pictures at the mural ceremony. To no avail, Bessie plans to make it a huge, embarrassing spectacle. Joey guesses Bessie's not that psyched about returning to the high school, since she did not have a great time there herself. Clip 5.
Yeah, but I'm old, remember? And that was a long time ago. Things are different now.
Not that different. What, are there like 10 black kids in that school?
11. And don't try to rewrite history, Bess. I mean, I remember the days that you used to pick me up from kindergarten and complain the whole way home about some smug, two-faced idiots who thought they were better than you simply because you had the wrong kind of jeans.
Okay, I admit it. I hated high school, but that's why I'm so glad it's not like that for you, Joey. You're talented, and everybody at that school knows it. They've known it for years. And today they're going to see proof positive that Joey Potter is a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, so much jinxy language, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Also, you're like 10 off on the estimate of black kids at that school, but sure. Mm.
At school, some basic bitch hilariously identified on IMDb as Treacly Girl is proving Joey's predictions accurate as she describes her boring lighthouse mural as symbolizing the beacons of knowledge that are their teachers. Cut to the crowd where Jack is not the only one making a disgusted face. He's just the one who's doing it the best. You could see that in the visual aids, of course.
Good.
Sometime later, the crowd has moved on. Principal Green introduces Joey. She starts with a joke about the unity assignment, since there isn't really anything that unites them all. She jokes that even their mascot, the Minuteman, immediately alienates half the student population. And after some polite titters, clip six.
The only thing that I could think of that unites us all, that we all have in common, is that it's that we all start off in kindergarten thinking that we can be anything that we want to be. And by the time we get here, we've somehow lost that feeling. And we've all started to believe whatever our parents or our friends have told us about what we can achieve and who we can be in life. And we've forgotten about that possibility we had when we were younger. And that's what I think we all have in common. And that's what the symbol on my painting means. Possibility. I painted it because I thought we could all use a daily reminder that if you believe in yourself, even when the odds seem stacked against you, anything's possible. So I hope you like it.
So it seems like Joey has actually talked herself into believing all of that is true, which is why it's a real shock when Principal Green unveils her mural and we see it has been defaced beyond repair with black paint. And while everyone murmurs in shock, Joey runs off. Dawson runs after her. She breathlessly says this is what she gets for answering a call to public service, public humiliation. Dawson in his flapping jeans say the only person humiliated is whoever did this. Pacey also runs up to them as they go on clip seven.
Look, it was a silly prank.
I didn't know that.
You put your heart and soul into that, and I don't blame you at all for being angry, but don't turn this into some sort of personal attack on you.
Well, not to stick my nose in here, but just to stick my nose in, of course it was a personal attack.
What?
Well, there are only three murals in that hallway. Yours was the only one that got touched.
So?
So either someone didn't like what Joey was trying to say, or someone just didn't like you.
Your logic leaves a lot to be desired.
Dawson, we're in high school here. It's a veritable society unto its own, okay? With a pecking order that makes the caste system look forgiving. Who knows what subtle line you may have crossed or what offense you might have given without even knowing it?
Paranoid much?
You don't think there's a possibility that there's somebody out there who hates Joey just for being Joey? Who hates the way she talks, the way she dresses, the way she chews on her lower lip?
Look, I don't chew on my lower lip.
Okay, look, I'm just putting it out there. I mean, think about it. Does anybody come to mind?
Why, so we can all gang up on him and call him dirty names? I mean, do me a favor, just stay out of this.
It's an act of vandalism, pure and simple. Some idiot trying to rage against the machine.
Doesn't make any sense.
Perfect. Heckle and Jekyll. I mean, this is exactly what a girl needs in the middle of an existential crisis. You know what? It's not helping. So thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, did one of you bring a bra out here? Because that's what she needs right now. Just saying.
When she stalks off, Dawson tells Pacey to let her go because Dawson is, what, a bad friend. That's right. Mm-hmm. It's been a while, but yes, he still is.
Mm-hmm. Still rocking it.
And that night at home, Andy and Jack discuss Joey's situation. Jack says Andy can catch the guy and have the last laugh, but Andy is thinking about quitting the disciplinary committee. He's surprised since it's going to look so good under college applications, but she says it's taking up too much time. Her schoolwork is slipping, and she's starting to get uncomfortable about judging other students. Jack admits he's shocked because it's not like her to bail on a commitment. A lot of things aren't like her, but she's done them anyway, she says. At the B&B, Dawson rings the bell. Joey comes out in a long sleeve t-shirt and sweats that don't match, which if I were a prospective guest would make me turn around immediately, but no one asked me. She relaxes when she sees who it is and resumes clearing the table, warning him that she's not here for a lecture. He doesn't have one and is sorry that what happened today happened. With a passive voice like that, you could write about cops or the New York Times, dude.
Yeah. Hmm.
There was a perpetrator, but Joey has already switched back to cynicism. Clip eight.
The whole thing was tragically lame to begin with. I mean, as if painting on a wall is going to make any change or the slightest bit of difference in school.
Maybe, maybe not.
For some reason, I don't like the sound of those maybes, Dawson.
Repaint the mural.
What?
Do it tonight. Surprise that bastard when he shows up tomorrow morning.
You know what? I would rather shove red-hot needles underneath my toenails, okay?
Oh, come on. So you're going to let some stupid high school prank keep you from finishing something that you obviously care about?
I finished it, Dawson, okay? It's not my fault that not everybody got a chance to see it.
I can't believe you're being like this.
Like what?
Defeated. Dejected. Demoralized.
Newsflash, Dawson. I can't always be your plucky little Joey Potter. I don't have this unlimited reserve of goodwill and good faith in humanity. And sometimes I am going to be a little depressed.
It's not about demeanor. It's about not being a victim.
You know, it took me a month to do that, Dawson. I had to conceive it and I had to execute it. And you can't just expect me to start over.
Why not?
For the same reason that you haven't shot a roll of film since January.
Joey is completely different.
Yeah, Joey, he's a boy in creative crisis. You just have little girl problems. Come on.
Yeah. Everyone's making some good points that are undercut by them being themselves. 'Twas ever thus on this show.
True. Dawson whines that he chose to stop making films, and Joey shoots back that it probably had something to do with how badly his last one went over at the film festival. He claims that's not why. Clip 9.
Well, then how convenient for you.
What does that mean?
You have all of these choices, Dawson. You have all of these choices that you just take for granted. I mean, God, you know, one day you're a filmmaker and the next day you're not. And tomorrow you could wake up and you could decide that you wanted to be a sculptor or you wanted to just backpack through Europe or climb Mount Everest, and you can do that.
And you can't.
No, I can't.
Why not?
I can't afford to waste the time to go find myself and be artistic, and I can't afford to just reject reality and go off and chase my pipe dreams. I can't do it because that's not my life, that's your life.
You know what I think this is about?
What?
I think you're relieved. I think you relieved somebody painting over that mural. Because you never had to go through the hard part. Never had to show it to the world. Never had to hear what anyone else thought about it. You never had to decide for yourself how good or talented you really are.
I mean, again, yes, he's projecting, and yes, it's Dawson, but these aren't bad points.
No, it's
her
true.
Points are better, namely that he has, you know, Dawson privilege up the wazoo, but I don't think he's wrong, except in, you know, his essential Dawson-ness.
Mm-hmm. No, true. She droops, and he ends by saying he came to give her the keys to the school, which he got from Principal Green. She can do what she wants. And the next day at lunch, Pacey rolls up behind a couple of dudes at the lunch line and jokes about the gravy-covered meat patties, which he calls elephant scabs. And I get it, but I would eat it, particularly with the generous helping of mashed potatoes that come with it. You can see them in the visual aids.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Institutional starch.
Little starch.
Pacey is actually going undercover as a bro to collect intel. Clip 10.
Did you guys see the look on Principal Green's face?
Huh?
At the uni mural thing. I thought the guy was going to have a breakdown.
That girl Joey, she totally lost it. Classic.
Okay. I realize I keep harping on this, but they've known each other since kindergarten. These guys know Joey is Pacey's friend. Like,
yeah. That girl, Joey? Oh, the one who railed someone with a cafeteria tray not even a year and a half ago? Her?
Could have been one of these guys for all I can remember,
the mural
honestly.
Should be of her wearing a cape? Come on, man.
But whatever, clip 11.
I'm writing myself a little poll here. I guess the true culprit, winner takes all.
That's not a poll, that's a pool.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just your weird accent, but anyway. Both dudes agree it's Matt, so I guess they're fine splitting the pot if they are right. Pacey watches Matt roll in and goes over to talk to him. Matt is like, do I know you? Yes, he's been a year behind you at this tiny school for the past 2 years. Like, everyone knows everyone. That's just how it goes, but whatever.
Well, but I mean, I don't know. Matt Caulfield has obviously been a senior for like 17 years.
True.
Juniors come. Juniors go. Matt Caulfield and his hairline. I'm a barn creaking. Like, yeah, he's so old and bad. I don't like this actor at all.
And poorly named because, according to IMDb, it's Caulfield with no, just the one L at the end. I don't know why. I don't know.
Sure.
I'm just telling you.
Okay.
But also, to my point that people know people, he just served Pacey and his friend Joey Jello shots at his stupid party in the last episode. That was last week. But anyway.
Yeah, during the off season in a vacation community where basically other kids are the only people in town.
Mm-hmm. So Pacey brings up the mural. Matt says it was pretty classic, but that he can't take credit for it. But then again, everyone seems to think he did it, so maybe he should just say thank you. Clip 12.
I'm here to tell you that not everybody thinks what you did was funny.
Well, some people don't have a sense of humor. Is that your problem?
Yeah, that's me. I'm humorless.
What do you want?
I want you to apologize. And then I want you to turn yourself in. And I want you to do it before the day is done.
And why would I do that?
Because this time you just happen to mess with somebody I care about.
And then some.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Dawson peeks behind Joey's recovered mural and sighs. Andy, going by that moment, says Joey was not in homeroom. And in the parking lot, Pacey stalks up to Matt just as he parks his new Durango. Sucks that his parents shorted him on the off-road package, Pacey needles. Matt tries to sidle off, apparently noticing the height difference between them, but Pacey slams him up against the truck. Clip 13.
So what's next, Witter? You gonna stick your civil servant dad on me?
Okay, so you do know who he is.
Yeah. Also, he's not that fucking town dog catcher.
Mm-hmm.
He's the sheriff.
Yeah.
So maybe not a bluff. Maybe not a bluff you want.
Perhaps.
To go with.
Matt's going to count to three and Pacey's going to step aside. But Pacey says, that's not what's happening. Matt counts anyway and Pacey slams him against the truck again. Clip 14.
What, are you whacked or something?
Oh, no, not yet. Not by a long shot.
What? You want me to say I did it? Okay, I did it. There, satisfied?
Okay, good. And now what are you going to do about it, huh?
I said, what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to go and apologize. Okay?
Well, he says that, but then he just waits for Pacey to let go of him and then punches Pacey in the face. They throw each other around several cars in the parking lot. Pacey has gotten Matt on his back and is just going ham on Matt's face when Principal Green pulls up honking and orders them both inside.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed. Shop now for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Later, with Pacey and Matt in his office behind him, Principal Green sends someone to get Dawson and a kid named David Curran. Andy is suddenly there asking to talk to Principal Green, but he can't right now. So she quickly resigns from the committee. She thinks he has an idea of her as someone with unwavering integrity, and she can't live up to that. And he asks to discuss it later, but she has nothing else to say and leaves. And in his office, now joined by Dawson and this David character, Principal Green explains that Pacey and Matt aren't talking, so their friends have to tell him what the fight was about. When Principal Green calls on the friends, in turn, the combatants tell them not to say anything. Principal Green says someone better talk soon or he's going to call Dartmouth and fuck with Matt's early admission. And if Pacey gets...
Of course, it's Dartmouth. the only turdlier destination, Princeton.
Ooh. If Pacey gets suspended one more time, he's not going to college at all. That doesn't work, so clip 15.
I have no other alternative.
It's because of the mural.
Hey, shut up, Dawson. This is not your fight.
It's not yours either.
So what you're saying is that the reason that Mr. Witter picked a fight was because he believes that Mr. Caulfield had something to do with the vandalization of the Unity mural.
I went nowhere near that thing. You know, as if I could give a rat's ass about some stupid Chinese drawing.
If you didn't go anywhere near it, how'd you know what it was?
That's a very good question.
Anyone could have taken a look. She's been working on it for weeks.
Yeah, at night and before school, but other than that, it's been sealed up tight as a drum. I'm one of her closest friends. I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Not to mention, if you didn't, as you say, give a rat's ass, then why would you go through all the trouble of finding out what it was?
Check the floor, Caulfield. I think you just painted yourself into a corner.
Ooh. I mean, I'm sorry that Dawson got to be the Jessica Fletcher that caught him in his lie, but still, at least someone did.
Yeah. And it was delivered with less smugness than you might expect from the beak. I mean, I was like so taken aback by with the fraternity hazing paddle hanging on the wall behind the principal that I really was having a little trouble concentrating on this. But here's the point. Matt Caulfield sucks.
Indeed. So Matt changes tack. He's like, ha ha, you got me. He Jackson Pollocked a meaningless mural that was also ugly. So I guess we know who's studying art history at Dartmouth. He also doesn't know why he should have to look at some trivial girl's message to the masses every day. It's offensive. Clip 16.
Possibility is offensive to you?
I'm white. I'm rich. That's all the possibility I need.
Oh, God.
I mean, like, I think we probably howled at this when it aired, but I mean, this is, you know, this is the United States government right now. They just say this stuff. So, okay. Secretary Caulfield, welcome. Welcome to the chat.
So we then join Jack and Andy having dinner at home, apparently moments after she has confessed about stealing the PSAT. He doesn't know why she did it since she knew the material, but she couldn't resist the temptation. At the time, it seemed like the answer to all her problems. Clip 17.
I thought that, you know, if I aced the test, then everybody would think I was okay again. You know, that would somehow convince them. But now that I really am okay, I'm having a hard time living with myself.
Hence your resignation from the disciplinary committee.
Jack, the past 6 months, I have been walking around feeling like the biggest hypocrite. I mean, don't you see? I've been so hard on all these other people just as a way of punishing myself. But now it's time to make amends for that.
Wait a minute. What are you planning on doing?
I'm gonna tell Principal Green tomorrow.
No, you're not.
Yeah, seriously. He doesn't work for ETS. Who cares?
Well, I mean, the episode is Crime and Punishment. I guess sort of tipping that the guilt eating away at you is part of what's going on.
I guess, or the Telltale Heart might have been a better name. Then
Jack tells her not to ruin her future over this moment of weakness, but Andy feels sure there's no better way for her to be free of this. And then at his place, Doug is removing the steak he was planning to eat for dinner that night from Pacey's black eye. Pacey's dinner will be bread and water. Doug opens the door to Joey as Pacey whines that he is a soldier returning from combat. Clip 18.
Well, you know, where's my Purple Heart, my ticker tape parade?
Watch it on your black and white. You know, the one with the coat hanger as an antenna at the Chevron station, where you're probably going to be pumping gas for the rest of your natural-born life, Pacey. All the boneheaded moves.
What are you talking about? I was right. It was Matt Caulfield.
Yeah, and that lets you off the hook how?
Because the guy deserves whatever he gets, okay? Preferably his silver spoon shoved up his ass.
Oh, that's funny, Pacey. That's really funny.
Oh, this is rich. Here I am trying to do the right thing. You know, sometimes a guy just can't win.
No, he can't. Not if he completely overreacts to a situation. If you're going to throw away your future, just do it on your own account, okay?
Oh, hey, don't get me wrong. Don't think I ever cared here. I was only doing Dawson a favor.
Dawson?
Yes, Dawson. You know, looking out for you. Think back with me. Way back. You know, like the beginning of the school year, Dawson Leary returns from the big city a changed man, determined to sever ties with girl across the creek, so he has trusted friend to look after said girl during the delicate transitional period. Trusted friend, of course, he obliges, and now trusted friend gets his head handed to him on a platter.
So you guys just traded me off like some sort of baseball card? Is that what this is about?
What?
Us. You and me. I thought that...
Thought what?
I guess I thought something else, Pacey.
Pacey, what? You're so close! Stop it.
Oh, seriously.
At the disciplinary committee the next day, minus Andy, clip 19.
You have consistently flaunted my authority, Mr. Caulfield.
No, he flouted it!
Flouted! Of all the characters, too, I really like him. Why do they keep giving him his crap?
As the camera pans through, we see Pacey's also in the room waiting his turn. And while I obviously wouldn't expect his shitty parents or even Doug to be there, I'm kind of shocked that Matt's not flanked by his presumably awful rich parents, but he's not.
Mm.
Principal Green goes on about the many ways Matt has not been in community at the school. Matt sneers that it was just a mural. Principal Green says it was so much more, adding that Matt's been led to believe he was untouchable, so now he makes himself everyone's problem, basically. But he's not above the law, so Principal Green has decided to expel him from the school. Matt squints as he threatens Principal Green with his father's reaction, but Principal Green knows it's coming, and he doesn't care. And Dawson is in the hall trying to eavesdrop when Joey in her ugly pants and ugly clogs, which you can see in the visual aids, come rolling up. Neither of them seems very optimistic that Matt's going to experience any consequences or that Pacey will escape without another suspension. Clip 20.
The way things are going, I mean, you should have just asked me to look out for him.
Excuse me?
I know all about the little wife-swapping arrangement.
Why is... Joey, that's not how it was, and you know it.
Then how was it?
Well, first of all, it was months ago. I mean, things were very different between us.
You're right. Back then, I felt like you still understood me.
Oh, and I don't now.
No. I never asked for your pity.
Joey, it wasn't about pity. I couldn't be there for you, but I wanted you to have someone you could turn to, someone you could talk to. Now tell me, where is the harm in that?
Well, it just would have been nice if that someone could have mustered a shred of genuine concern, Dawson.
Joey, that someone is in that room right now because he's got a hell of a lot more than a shred of concern.
Yeah, dummy.
Yeah, and remember this conversation when Dawson is, I don't know, bouncing off every wall between here and the Cape Cod Canal about them supposedly going behind his back?
Uh-huh.
Like... He started this is A. He saw where it was going is B.
Yeah.
And he was being normal about it, at least at this one juncture. So, I mean, none of this is credible at all, but I will say, like, Dawson initiated this chemistry and does appear to be fine with it at this point. So, that's going to let us roast him later. That's all.
That's true. When Joey tries to laugh this off, Dawson calls her on shitting on the people who care about her the most. Does she really think that Dawson and Pacey don't want what's best for her in Pacey's case, especially after everything that's happened this year? This seems to hit home. And elsewhere, Andy is sadly emptying her locker, which contains a pair of red fuzzy dice.
Fuzzy dice? Thank you. What? You
can see them in the visual aids.
That was definitely the old, oh shit, we don't have enough stuff. Someone get the PA, someone go through your car in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Also, she keeps the pens in her locker in a cup. Like, who uses up floor space on a locker like that? Anyway.
I know.
The last thing she takes down is a flyer for the play. And back at the committee, Pacey comes out motor mouthing compliments for Principal Green, comparing it to Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King. Principal Green didn't let Pacey off the hook, but he didn't suspend him either. He ordered him to be a mentor in a local program. Stand by for more on that. Dawson jokes that Pacey shouldn't try to teach the kid the importance of keeping a secret, given how Pacey couldn't keep his from Joey. Pacey hopes that Dawson will be as enlightened and forgiving as Principal Green. Dawson just says, "Not good," as he drifts off. Speaking of Principal Green, we cut to him looking shattered as he sets down what is evidently Andy's confession letter and tells her how shocked and disturbed he is. Across from him, Andy holds back tears and accepts everything he says. She wishes she could have told him sooner. ETS is going to cancel her scores and she'll have to forfeit her chance at a National Merit Scholarship. She presumably can't take the P or regular SATs anymore either, I would assume, but no one says that.
Yeah, I don't actually know, but I thought the same thing.
She apparently told him other students were aware of the test, but she's absolutely certain none of them used it to cheat because she didn't share it. She doesn't say that part.
Yeah. Also, yeah, rude. Totally forgot that part.
Principal Green asks what she thinks he should do. She heard Matt was expelled today and what she did was just as serious. She cleared out her locker and is most sorry for letting down Principal Green and herself. Principal Green says she and Matt have nothing in common. Matt takes pleasure in hurting others while Andy only hurt herself, which, I mean, Matt's crime was more dickish, but I don't think it's crazy to say hers is more serious, all things considered.
Although he also did that crime at the beginning of the episode.
That's true.
He just does all the crimes.
That's true. Andy whimpers that she cheated, it was wrong, and she should be punished for it. One of the things that Principal Green tried to teach Andy on the committee was proportionality, making the punishment fit the crime, but looking at the person. Matt doesn't deserve and wouldn't benefit from Principal Green's leniency, but Andy might. She doesn't know what to say. He says she can just put her stuff back in her locker for now. He'll have to think about her punishment, and she tearfully thanks him. Sometime later, Joey's at school, back in her painting overalls as she carries gear back to the wall and freezes when she sees Pacey already there, up on a ladder painting over the defacement. He thought it would be good if she could start with a blank canvas. Who told him she was going to repaint it? Just some do-gooder, he says. Clip 21.
So, you gonna thank me?
For what?
Well, for all manner of things. You know, like defending your honor, bucking the system.
Tilting at windmills while in the throes of a misguided hero complex.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Pacey, if I was going to thank you for anything, it would be for being yourself and, you know, not caring what anybody else thinks and for knowing in your heart what's right and wrong and... and for being there this year. When I needed you the most.
You well? Do you want help?
One condition.
Sure. Name it.
Be honest. The only reason you've been hanging out with me is simply because Dawson told you to?
Yep, that's the only reason.
You need to get a life.
That's not what you need to get. Sorry.
That's when Dawson comes out of a classroom, looks up the hall at Joey and Pacey painting together, and smiles smugly. And I hate that he can kind of take credit for this, but he can, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's it. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP.
The entire Jen section of the show for not having to deal with any of this. Like, I just realized now, like, oh, this actually wasn't that bad because there was no Henry.
Right. Maybe she's been in the hospital with him this whole time while he got blood transfusion.
Yeah, and she's just like chowing jello. I'm with it.
Yeah.
I guess Dawson?
I mean, you're right. He was making good points, but I'm still going to say Pacey because, you know.
Fair.
Violence is wrong and it doesn't solve anything, but fuck that guy up. He sucks.
Yeah, seriously.
Least valuable player. Obviously, Matt's so shitty.
Yeah, his parents. Because what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Come home from Europe and come get your boy. I mean, man.
Well, we will see them in the next episode so we can yell at them directly across the time and fictional boundaries, I guess.
Cool. Next time on Again With This, cue the Buffalo Springfield because it's protest time at Capeside High after Caulfield Sr. doesn't react well to Principal Green's expelling his decrepit son for crimes against murals and or acting. And it's score settling time for Gail when the gal who stole her anchor job in Philly comes to town to cover the story. You should cover your cornei and visine before checking out our visual aids. You can find those crucial picks and gifts from this and every other episode of the podcast at againwiththispodcast.com. That site is also home to the entire archive of episodes of Again With This, 90210, Melrose Place, and Dawson's Creek. That's againwiththispodcast.com/subscribe. I'm Hansi Tattoo, that probably actually says farts, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. Thank you. My co-host is Force to Be Reckoned With, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, consistently flaunts his authority. Talk to you next time.
The last knife in his coffin.
What? What?